Thank you very much, Al and Jill. That was beautiful. You know, that last song, can have all this world, just give me Jesus. Just, I don't know about you, but I just feel the hair on my neck going up. It's just really great. So thanks again. Oh, okay. So in this time of Lent, as you guys know, Vicky has really encouraged this time for reflection. And just such a strength of hers in being able to do that, encouraging that deeper thinking. And last week, she asked a question for us all to reflect on. In what ways have you noticed God shepherd you? And the second question is another great one. Is Jesus shepherding you now? Is he guiding you to something? So I thought I would take a moment to start off by maybe sharing a little bit where those kind of reflections land for me. In the last maybe 6 months, maybe year, you know, how is Jesus shepherding me? What's he doing? Well, I think Jesus is really telling me to go out of my comfort zone. It's part of the reason why I'm up here on this stage, actually. Okay? This up here in the role of speaking to you all is not something that I find really comfortable. But I know, but because of this, I'm being a better student of the Bible. I'm creating intentional time to really study something and, you know, kind of sound like I kind of know a little bit about what I'm talking about up here. So this is good for me. So I'll be honest, meditating on the Bible and doing daily devotions has never come easy for me. I know for myself, I need better discipline, absolutely. And I think we always want to strive to be better, of course. And I think being up here too just kind of helps me become more aware of Jesus' role in my life. Rather than just going through my day-to-day life at work or family stuff and worries, and you kind of get caught up in that and not giving attention where it's needed most. So in this time of Lent, and reflection and learning has been really important for me. It's good for me. So I've been taking time to reflect on my own history and relationship with the church. As we know, our church is going through a time of transition and being part of a board, and I'm kind of thinking about where have I been and where am I today. And so I'm kind of thinking a bit about my own timeline of that journey, starting as a 13-year-old nervous kid going to a youth group for the first time. You know, my very first experience, actually, it's kind of funny. I go and they brought out the oil and they were speaking in tongues, and it was very charismatic experience, I guess, if you will. So you're very, like, so if you put yourself in those shoes, like, with no previous exposure to church, I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Right? And then all the way to today, here I am up here. I wanted to share a little bit about kind of maybe in the middle of that timeline. I reflect on one particular experience where I felt God was perhaps guiding me to do things a bit differently. Experience of going to a different kind of church at the time that forced me to learn how to slow down. Learning to be in tune and connected with God, and maybe find some peace along the way. I was living in Winnipeg at the time, and I was about maybe 6 months into my social work career. My wife, Laura, was working full-time doing shift work as a nurse. And I think one of my wife's coworkers or a friend, I think they suggested, hey, you should You should go to this this church if you want to go to a service in the evening. And so with my wife's nursing schedule being all over the place, it was close by, we thought we'd check it out. Now, it happened to be an Anglican church, of all things. Now, I don't know the Anglican traditions or dogma, but I found that it was a very simple format that encouraged contemplation. It was built around a short message, music, prayer, and finished with the time of communion. And what captured me about this place was there's an element of stillness and peace that I experienced there. And many of the songs had very simple melodies that were very, very reflective, all right? And the verses were repeated over and over and over again. And that was a new concept to me. But I've come to later learn that, you know, that's very much a common thing that people do in meditation. It's a meditative practice, right? And it's to do that repetition. And by doing that, it can kind of help you get maybe grounded or anchored in prayer and contemplation. Now, there's a context to this time in my life. So in the beginning of my career, I'm working as a child protection social worker. I don't want to get into the details of the work or anything, but it was a darker time for me. There's nothing that school does to prepare you for that kind of work. There's a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of negative thoughts going on for me. So this church just happened to be a place of, you know, where I was able to separate myself a bit from the week I just had. I can hear the lyrics of one song in my mind. They always sang this during the communion. I'm just going to share it with you. Just kind of give you an idea. It goes like this. Behold what you are. Become what you receive. Take up the bread and wine. Embrace the mystery. And they sing this over and over again. Embrace the mystery. For me, this is an opportunity to embrace what is God trying to teach me here. You know, I don't have all the answers, and you know, so just sit there and embrace it. That's okay. Embrace this time of contemplation. Embrace sitting still and finding peace. And what I believe is the Holy Spirit's presence. So they sing these verses over and over to the point where you have no choice to find meaning in these words. You sit with your thoughts. You're in God's presence. And one of the practices of this particular church is you are welcome and take place in communion at the end of every service. Sorry. One of the most memorable things about this was my wife, being the nurse that she is, she has a real aversion to germs, okay? And she would be planning ahead of time to figure out and strategize how we could be the first ones up there, okay, to take part in this practice. When it was time to take part in communion, we were right up there. We were gung-ho, we were ready to go, all right? And because the bowl they used for this wine was communal. So and then we're looking at, like, we don't want to be person number 101 taking part in that, right? So that was that's a memorable experience we got to do together. But one of the things that I absolutely loved about this practice was the greeting that people would give to you. And you know, when they're sharing the bread, they would be saying, "Peace be with you." And then, it's just a beautiful saying, peace be with you. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about this saying. As I get reflecting, where does the statement come from? After his death and resurrection, Jesus used his greeting three times when he met with his disciples. So in John 20, 19 to 29, let's read it together. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound at his side." 8 days later, after the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them, the doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. And Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." First thing to notice, I often thought of this, when he says this statement, he's just kind of reassuring them. All of a sudden, he's just showing out of nowhere, right? And reassuring them first, but there's something else I noticed in that Jesus uses this greeting of peace after his resurrection. He never used this greeting before. And by his resurrection, Jesus has defeated Satan and the power of sin. And when we choose to walk by faith with Jesus, sin no longer has control over our emotions and thoughts. And we get peace. And Jesus showed his disciples the holes in his hands and the wound at his side. And he said, "Peace be with you." And he added, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Nope. Next thing I notice is that as a Christian, we are sent by Jesus Christ. And so the question is, has Jesus sent you? Is Jesus shepherding you? Is he guiding you? And then taking us back to that original question. Where is he taking you? Now reflect on this time when Jesus with his disciples, Thomas was absent. And Thomas doubted that Jesus had appeared to the disciples. And 8 days later, however, Jesus appears again, and he says, "Peace be with you." And this time, Thomas saw Jesus, and he was convinced. And Thomas is reminded of his earlier stubbornness, and he humbly confesses that Jesus is God. And despite him being stubborn and living up to the common portrayal of him in Sunday school as Doubting Thomas, I take peace in knowing that Jesus still responded to him in this greeting of reassurance. Now, one of the things I've come to learn, that when peace comes in our lives, it doesn't always necessarily mean that our problems just suddenly go away, right? When God's peace comes in our life, it doesn't mean our problems just suddenly go away. They're still there. But we are able to feel the presence of God's peace in our life. There's a small story that goes that a ship was wrecked in a furious storm, and the only survivor was a little boy who was swept by the waves onto a rock. And he sat there all night until the next morning he was spotted and rescued. And someone later asked him, "Did you tremble while you were on the rock during the night?" "Yes," said the boy. "I trembled all night, but the rock didn't." This is kind of how I think of maybe God's peace being in our lives. There can be a lot going on around us. We might find ourselves quite impacted by it a lot. However, this peace has a way of stabilizing us, anchoring us maybe, reminding us of the reassurance we have of receiving salvation. It really helps us manage whatever storms that we have. This week, I want to encourage folks to maybe try spending time to maybe meditate yourself in scripture, meditate yourself in music maybe, or prayer, and take time to really reflect on the question of where is Jesus guiding you? Where is he taking you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this community. I thank you for the blessings that you've given us, the gifts that you've given us of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of knowing that we have salvation in you. Just pray for everyone here that they're able to take time to truly reflect and anchor themselves in you, spending time in you, be able to get a sense of where am I going. Bless everyone's week as they go out into their jobs, their families, everything they do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.